Hey, what are you listening to?
Oh, you didn't get that?
Get what?
Themnutspodcast.com.
Welcome to Them Nuts Podcast Show, hosted by comedians Darius Campbell, Ray Chung, and Matt Cole. Also, Bucky, the executive producer, and the producer, Luis Gomez. You can check us out on all your social media networks.
I should have brought my buddy, and he's such a fan. He's got fucking 211 tattooed on his
side.
Wow.
I noticed that when I was looking on to try to send him an email and say, hey, I have a lot of pictures of 211s in my fucking thing. There was a lot of little fucking things. I was like, wow, I didn't know they had such a big fan group.
Yeah, well, it's like, what's his name? Fucking Doug Stanhope. He's got this new bit last time I saw him where he talks about Popov, because he brings just a fucking handle of Popov on stage right now. And he's like, this is the shittiest fucking booze you could possibly buy, and I love it. Like, I want them to sponsor me. He's like, they don't even have to give me money, just like a poster to put behind me on stage. That'd be amazing. And he's all, his agent calls him and says, quote, they won't touch you with a barge pole. So he's like, so now I'm coming out on stage with their vodka every night and telling that same fucking story until I get my goddamn poster.
Well, you recently opened for Stanhope, right?
Yeah, I did. It was just an accident, quite frankly. I didn't find out about it until like 2 days before. Okay. So that kind of fucked with me. Whenever I have like a show that's kind of big, I always go through like this self-loathing period.
Oh, yeah.
Before. Sure. Like specifically, because, you know, whenever you have a show you're looking forward to and you want to go really well, you always end up like doing a fuckload of mics and as much stage time as you can the week before. You're just like, I gotta be on my game. I gotta be at my best. And it never fails that the night before a big show, I bomb harder than I've ever bombed in my life.
It totally ruins your self-confidence right before,
and
right?
I spend the whole day just like questioning everything. Yeah. Not just in comedy, but in my life. What led me here is probably not good. It's fucking bad. But see, this one was 2 days before, so I didn't have that self-loathing period. But that fucked with me too, because I'm like, that's my normal rhythm. Son of a bitch, what do I do? But it ended up going off pretty good, and he was killer, totally down to earth.
Wait, you know? So when you got the call, did you do like a high-pitched streak?
Oh, yeah, I was freaking the fuck out. Are you kidding me?
Did you call your mom and cry?
Yeah, but not necessarily in that order. Okay. It was more like just weeping right then. Actually, it was horrible because I heard about it, and the dude who's the manager of the club, Pablo, called me. And he's like, yeah, we may need you. I'm not sure. I'll tell you in a little while. I'm like, motherfucker, you can't leave me dangling like that, you son of a bitch. Just feed me like, hey, you could be opening for like one of your favorite all-time comedians or not. Not sure. Hold on. Like, this better be a yes or a no, you fucking dick. Like, no, you can't do that. It was... I was just stressing out that whole night. And then finally he said I was in and ended up going and hanging out with him, having a bunch of vodka with him. And
nice.
Pop-off, of course.
Yep. It was funny because we go back into the green room and he's like, you want some vodka? And I'm like, yeah, I want some. And I'm all, what kind you got? And he's all, shit. I'm like, okay then. Shitty and free. Two of those things. I'm down with that.
Two things you love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I don't, I guess we've been recording. This is how a podcast works. He pushes a button once.
Uh-huh.
And then like an hour he pushes the
button.
Wait,
are
again.
We actually recording?
Yeah,
right?
No, we've been recording for a
bitch.
No, we want to surprise you. We want you at your vulnerable moment.
I know.
You don't like Muslims?
Okay, that's good. Well, that definitely needs to be on record. All right? Like immediately must be known. Tim Groeschel, not cool with the Muslims.
Well, there we go. We got Tim Groeschel in the house tonight.
Yep.
There
that's
me.
That's some bullshit.
What?
I'm half Muslim.
How are you going to be half Muslim?
It's a religion, fool.
Oh, is it? Oh, my bad.
He's half Muslim.
He's got the burqa, but he still eats pork. So
Yeah, I'm a quarter Buddhist. Like, what the fuck is that?
Are you a quarter Buddhist, too?
Fuck no.
So am I. God damn it. Any religion, I'm part of it.
You're always down, no matter what it is.
Where do they walk? If they got a bomb on them, I'm fucking down with them. Hey, dog, I got you. I love you.
Good God.
Don't take me.
Do our listeners a favor, because we drink and we forget this at the end. Let us know where we can find you. Social media, anything like that?
Just type me into Facebook, man. I don't do a whole lot. Like, I just got a Twitter, or I'm just going to get a Twitter account. I don't even fucking have one.
Wait, you don't have to buy them at the store. You know that.
You can
get them online. I'm going to go get me one of them things called
Twitter. It's one of those things where I drink and I see fucking people tweeting shit, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I should probably fucking do that. And the next day, it's all gone. Went right out the fucking window. But no, you just type in my name on fucking Facebook, hit me up, I'll accept any friend request. I don't pump a whole lot of fucking material out there into social media. I don't care for it as much, mainly because I get since I have so many comedians that I'm latched onto on social media, I get bombarded with shit on
all
there,
the time.
And it's so fucking annoying. I'm like, oh my god, you're so lucky I know you. Otherwise, I would not be putting up with this annoying shit. All your notifications. Talking to you, Robert Tran, if you're listening.
Oh, throw a name out there. Throw a name.
Shots fired.
Yeah, yeah. Normally, name dropping is a little bit differently. That's good. So now, how long have you been in this game for?
2.5 years now I've been going. I started the fucking Max Bloom's crappy little coffee shop out.
We were just talking about that earlier.
Actually, driving here was fucking crazy. It's tripped me out because I looked at it on the map and I realized I used to live like a couple miles from this fucking place down off of Lincoln and Valley View, like near the college.
Yeah, right.
And I went to elementary school there. I lived there for like 4 years, so I drove by earlier. And it, like, nothing has fucking changed except for the jungle gyms are now shit. They're fucking awful. They're all colorful.
Wait, why are you exploring jungle gyms?
They were empty, I'll have you know.
Were you in a white
actually? That
you
might
in a white
be the
van
most
as well?
Terrifying thing in the world. If only it were the middle of the night. Like, can you imagine somebody opening the blinds to their windows and my fat bearded ass just
you're
in the middle
pictures.
Of a playground alone, walking around silently?
Yeah. Like, oh, I used to remember this place.
It's like, why does he have a bag of candies? Right. What's going on?
All I need now is a hockey mask, and it would have been complete. But it tripped me the fuck out, especially like I said, the jungle gym equipment cracked me up because I'm like, I remember when we were kids, it was fucking, it was steel metal.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's like fucking
bolted
concrete
into the pavement. Like, we were lucky that there was a fucking swing set in the sand. The other part of it, the monkey bars were bolted into the blacktop.
Yeah, no, yeah,
if you fell, there was no give.
No, the worst is the blacktop because it gets all hot in the fucking sun. It's just like baking like 110 degrees.
It's like 140 degrees to grab under the
Bars. And the bar's hotter than fuck, so you got to swing like a motherfucker or you go
that
down.
That taught you, though. Made you move quick.
Oh,
hands
fucking
quick, hands quick, hands quick.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not for like kids these days. Is it good to pamper them so much, or are we raising a generation of pussies?
Well,
we are raising a generation of pussies, but there has never been a better time to be a pussy than right now. Like, really, being a pussy is really the way to go. If I'd have known growing up that eventually all that my fucking Little League playing and horrible emotional scars were not going to help me at all, I would have forsaked all that. I'd have been a bitch the whole time because it's so much easier.
You're not making a camp for my kids, buddy. No, do that shit. Little fucking pussies growing. You're right. There's this motion in this era right now. We are building generations of pussies.
But they can afford to be. They don't need to go through any like a lot of the tough shit that we did, which is good. You don't want them to go through the fucked up.
No, you're right, because they have internet, which we didn't have.
Even though our generation really wasn't that much tougher.
I know. Our big thing is going to be like, when back in my day, boy, I didn't have no digital pornography.
Yeah.
We had to look at pictures of it.
I had to go look at a neighbor's window, motherfucker. Yeah.
We had to shake the Nintendo.
Yeah. Which is true. We had to blow at our Nintendo cartridge.
There would always be that pervy friend who's like, my dad's got a stash of porn. Yeah. And then you'd have to take turns looking at it, which isn't terrifyingly creepy at all.
No.
But you had to do what you had to do when you were 12. When the internet first came out, I remember that was trippy for porn. Like, that was everything.
Oh, you had to dial up first.
It was slower than
there
fuck.
There was softcore and hardcore, and I never liked hardcore because I was seeing guys' dicks. Now I can watch as hardcore. That's all I can watch.
Same here. Softcore is so fucking boring.
Well, hey, I'm just now getting into the porn era, so I don't know.
You mean you just getting into it? You're not getting into it at all. Shut up, liar.
I'm trying.
I don't know, man.
I'm working. They got mad
in my teen years, in my masturbation prime is right when porn on the internet was coming about.
Yeah.
Like,
nice.
I like the porn renaissance for me. Like, it was so beautiful. I remember me and my buddies trading fucking porn images on floppy disks.
Yeah.
Because when you're alone,
and you can like
loser.
Load like five pictures on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, wait. Kids don't even know what a floppy disk is.
Yes, the first GIFs. And there were like, if you were lucky, you could find like a 40-second clip or something like that. Streaming
like
hadn't been
download.
Invented yet. It was all download. Yeah. That was it. There was no streaming. That's what I mean. I don't
see,
understand.
We need
people.
To put this in a time capsule. And then like, play, like, just, like, play this episode and like, when our grandkids are out.
This
no,
is our, yeah. this
5 years
great.
From now, this will be fucked.
No, no, 5 years. Can you imagine like Google Glass and fucking 3D shit, like the Oculus Rift?
Yep.
When porn gets a hold of that,
porn already has a hold of it.
No, no, it's not an Oculus Rift
on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
talking to the show. We used to have to actually talk to people on the phone. Remember that?
Yeah.
Or you'd call someone's house and go, man, that motherfucker better be there.
Better, no, better that. Remember when you had to go show up at a person's house and knock on a fucking door if they were there?
Yep.
That was that time. Before it was a phone call.
Well, and
our
not only that,
you're younger.
Like I knew people's parents who would get pissed if you didn't come to the door.
Yes.
Like my mom hated that when friends would call me and say, hey, meet me outside. She's like, that's bullshit.
No. Or when the parents would show up and they honk the horn for you to come. Oh, fuck. No.
Oh, yeah.
That shit didn't happen.
Shit. No.
You didn't happen. Bullshit.
That was, no, that didn't.
My mom didn't let you out the house unless they fucking knocked the door. You don't know what the fuck's honking outside for you.
And there
come
was,
and show
and
your
there
face.
Was a phone call curfew, too, because they didn't want that motherfucking phone ringing past like 9
yes,
o'clock at night.
You're right. I don't know the fuck if you're dead or not.
Yeah.
You better call me before 9. Let me the fucking know.
Right.
If you stand the night at your friend's house, you better call me before 9.
Yep.
I'm in bed at 9:30 hungover.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. Yep. And if they called, man, you were fucking dead.
Yeah.
My mom would. Who the fuck was just calling here at 10 at night? I'm like, it was Jason. He didn't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hey, remember, you couldn't put your phone on silent. There was no silence.
Oh, yeah,
on that
did not
that
exist.
Big phone. You couldn't.
No.
That one quick ring. Hey, call me at 10:30. Wait for 10:30.
But it clapped.
Yeah, yeah. I got you. Hold on. You waited for a minute too because you. All right, she didn't hear. Fuck it, let's go.
That's also back when you had the 20-foot cable on the kitchen phone, so you could
walk
around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Fuck, we reminisced.
Damn, that's what this episode is about.
That's right. That's what this
old
is.
Old people.
Early 30s motherfucker problems.
Yeah, right.
Fucking drop off.
Did you guys ever do like phone sex? Like call those lines?
Oh, no. I got a huge story.
I never did that.
When I moved from Chicago to Tennessee, because I didn't have any friends, I would do that. Not knowing it was charging money.
No.
And then I'm like, $1,200.
Whoa.
Wait, hold up.
I got my ass beat.
Oh, I bet.
Wait, hold up.
How old were you?
Dude, like about 15.
Ooh.
Wait. So you were 15, you moved to a new place, you had no friends.
So I was just calling. You know, I'm
so
like,
phone sex was
pick
your
up the back. Phone.
Hey, you weren't
I'm
calling.
All
what
alone.
Was that girl? What was the psychic girl?
Oh, yeah. Miss Cleo or
Cleo.
Whatever.
You weren't calling Cleo?
No, fuck that. Because I didn't. We blocked 900, but they didn't block the 800s.
So wait, hold on.
It's just like
you didn't know what you were calling?
No, he didn't know it was.
I knew what I was calling, but I didn't know what it was going to cost me.
It was
he just thought
that these were some really generous, sexy people.
I knew not to call 900 numbers. I thought 800 was
cool.
Anything
in the 8s, I can dial. Anything in the 8s, I can dial. 866, I'm
The reason why I was asking, because that shit turned me on as a kid, too. Before, like, going back to the pre-porn, like, that did. And I had the same experience. It wasn't $1,200.
Like, HBO stuff.
That's right.
All I needed was just a woman's voice. It's,
right. Yeah, my buddy called it Picasso porn. Like, it was all squiggly and fucked up, and it was like 2 a.m.
You got the one bed horizontal line cutting the girl in half. You can see nice titties over here. Didn't know what's going on. That's all it took.
But it's backwards. Like, it's ass on this end, but tits on that. Like, it's going through another dimension. It doesn't fucking add up.
No, but my question is phone sex still exists?
No,
phone. I don't
like
think
how
so.
Could that exist? Does
no,
it still exist?
Well, no, because they got the webcam
the
girls
no,
now. Online.
Webcam.
Yeah,
no, but like actual just voice.
Actual phone, just voice.
I don't think so.
Exist?
They have that call me up for a good time line.
Is that just
that
a voice?
Girl,
that voice, right?
But they call them party lines now,
yeah,
don't they?
So that shit still, like, how does that exist?
How is that still a thing? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't get it.
Especially like webcam girls, like that is so much more superior in experience.
Yeah. Blind guy just gets off auto-rock.
I guess.
No, but you could just play anything, really.
But how would you play?
You're not interacting.
Phone interacting.
That's true.
And boy, blind people must be fucked by smartphones. There's no tensile, like, where's the 1 or the 9? Like, you can't feel your way around the fucking keypad.
Well, actually, there's a blind comedian. I don't know if you met Dez yet. He's got, like, a... It's like the big... It's a tablet, but it's like a... brailled out like smartphones.
No
like
shit. Yeah,
it's really kind of cool, man.
That's tight. I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
they
but
did
it's,
that.
It's weird as shit looking.
Man, it's like a freaking like our keyboard that we record on.
Oh, no know? Shit.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
big.
It's, yeah, it's pretty huge.
Still fuck brailled.
Yeah. All right, what else is old? anybody remember buying cassettes?
Yeah.
What was the first piece of music you ever bought with your own money?
I stole a Chris Cox album so I could put my Metallica Black Album in there so my mom didn't know I was listening to Satan music. She
You stole Chris Cross?
I bought Metallica so I could put...
You can like Chris Cross. You were nine. It's not that big a deal. We all grow up.
Mac Daddy's gonna make you jump.
Hey, but is there any freaking even record stores or anything even surviving?
Oh, yeah.
They're
absolutely. Still around, but it's more really? Like...
Sam Goody's still around? What are the...
Oh, well, no. I know that there's one in Orange called Pepperland that they do like a lot of old shit. But that's the whole thing now is that it makes money off of like vintage vinyls and shit like that. Yeah.
So there's no more cassettes and go there. Used to see the nut album.
I mean, they got to exist.
Wait, hold on. Is there any videos? They're freaking out anymore? Music videos? Any music videos?
Oh, music videos they still make. But that's just for YouTube.
Yeah, but on YouTube?
Yeah, that's just for YouTube.
Our V, what is VEV?
VHS?
No. VHS. No, because MTV.
Betamax.
MTV doesn't even play music videos anymore, man.
No, they haven't played music in fucking like a decade.
10, 10, yeah. 15
dude, what
years,
are you like Encino Man? Right. What the fuck is going on here, bro?
Just defund you right now.
Dude, Jesus Christ.
I used to watch VHS, not VHS, VH1 top hits fucking like 4 years ago. Yeah. Fuck you guys, man.
MTV stopped making video playing music
it's
videos like 20 years ago.
Because Pauly Shore is now getting an ironic comeback in the comedy scene.
Doesn't he like operate up at the store?
Yeah,
the
store.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. That's fucking bizarre.
Well, fuck you guys. I like my music videos.
Guys.
And I ain't on YouTube like that, fuckers. I got my 211. I'm done. I'm hugged. Fuck all you guys. I hugged my 211.
That's fucking magic to me that we have like this fucking information at our fingertips. Oh, and it's funny because like I actually learn shit on my own now just for the sake of learning it. Which is so weird. Like I spent all my years in school fighting knowledge like a plague.
Yes.
Like doing everything I could in my power.
And as soon as one thing curious come in your mind, you're like, fuck, let's Google it.
And then all of a sudden you're down this fucking rabbit hole of knowledge.
What's the last thing you went crazy on, like trying to...
Oh, dude, there's this fucking YouTube channel these guys do called Crash Course.
Yeah. Okay.
And they just take any like given subject and they do like 10-minute videos explaining it. And it's like a college course except really entertaining
and lightning quick.
And like any type of subject? Or
they've done world history, U.S. history. They're in the middle of literature right now.
They're
in the middle of literature.
He's in the middle of that. He only spent 5 minutes on that video. He's got 5 minutes.
I'm not going to lie. Yeah. A lot of the literature shit is boring as fuck. World history was fucking tight. Literature blows. They're doing psychology. They did chemistry. I couldn't get past video 2 on chemistry.
No,
I'm retarded. Walter White, I will never be. Chemistry's boring as fuck. They did biology. They did all kinds of shit like that.
Ray, what about yourself, though? What have you been in depth in on the internet?
Fuck it.
Porn.
Come on, dude.
Porn.
Like,
porn. There it is.
Yeah.
What's your go-to site?
I'm gonna rep Pornhub. It's kind of...
Really?
Yeah, I'm gonna rep Pornhub.
Okay.
You judging me?
I think he is. I think he just did. With that little...
Yeah, what is that, dude? Well, explain yourself. Explain yourself. I'm getting offended. What's going on?
You know how Ray gets. Don't get him offended like that. No,
why?
But
why? Why the animosity? What's up?
Because he's a spank wire guy.
Hey, man, X videos.
Xvideos.com. That place is really good.
What'd he say?
Xvideos.com.
I know about Xvideos here.
Just the letter X, videos.com. Super simple. And we had
a little girl just run by here.
Yeah. it doesn't matter. It's not in context. So everything's fine.
Hey, child, go check out Xvideos.
Xvideos is child play. You guys ever been to motherless.com yet?
No, I have not.
No.
And I don't know about Xvideos being child play. I've seen just like thumbnails on their front page that made me gag. So,
Motherless finally got rid of all of its.
I'm on ChristianMingle.com. So,
okay.
Why you
it's
guys
legal
stop?
Again if you want to buy.
You on J-Date?
Yeah, I'm J-Date?
I'm a Christian mingle, so leave me
oh
alone.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Why would you do such
switching relations again.
Let's make a Tinder joke, and this could be an L.A. open mic.
Oh,
really? I could have sworn OkCupid was next. Where was that? Oh, God. Have you ever used that site, OkCupid?
I haven't done an online dating site yet. Okay. I want to do it for material. Is it
there you go. Yeah. I did OkCupid for about a week. It's about as much as I can take. OkCupid, from my week-long experience, seems to be populated exclusively by female psychopaths or hipster indie chicks. Like, that's it. There's no fucking middle ground. They're either complete lunatics where you send them like, hey, girl, what's going on? And they message back like, mayonnaise banana. And you're like, what the fuck? Just lost. It's either that or it's just a whole like fucking essay long profile about how nobody understands their interests, and I'm like, yeah, because they're boring. Like, you're boring. All right, no one gives a fuck how many different Shakespeare plays you've been in. Like, I don't give a fuck. Knitting and crocheting your own outfits for your three cats, like, it's fucking terrible. And that was it. That's all that's on there. That's all that's on there. There's no middle ground of normalcy. I'm almost tempted to look up the guys just to see, like, what market are they catering to? Like, conceivably, somebody is getting together on this site or it wouldn't exist.
Yes, still.
So...
Yeah.
Who the fuck are fucking these people?
Well, since we're on the dating thing, have any of you guys ever tried speed dating?
No. I did not.
You have?
I got a whole bit about it, yeah.
Oh.
Nah, it was horrible. I was single for so long, I went to an Orange County speed dating thing for young professionals.
Young professionals?
Yuppies!
Young being the optimal word, I was 32. This is 2 years ago. Ugh. And most of these women were like late 30s, early 40s. And it was just, if you've never been, I'll speak to you in it.
Dude, that sounds like fucking, that's wheelhouse for me.
The girls get a free gate, guys pay $50, but it's an hour open
bar. Wait a minute. How much?
$50 for an hour long?
$50. You paid $50 for this.
You'll never get it back.
Did they give you at least like a drink ticket?
A 1 hour open bar.
Oh, okay. So, that's fair. Oh, that's, see, I wouldn't even spend my time talking to anybody. I'd be like, I'm getting my $50 worth of talk.
The first hour is supposed to be the mingle hour. It was like a middle school dance. Girls are on one side, guys are on the other.
Dude.
The open bar's in the middle. And they just bull rush it the entire time they're going back.
Oh, my God. Then, it's not even organized. Oh. It's just like a fucking Royal Rumble pit of dating.
Then after the hour, they you go to a cash bar, and then the speed dating begins. And basically, they put a chair and a table on each side. All the girls get to sit down, and the guys rotate chairs every 3 minutes where you hear the ding.
Okay.
So all it was just me able to piss off this girl for 3 minutes.
How many women were there? Like, how many did you
honestly,
talk to?
Honestly, there was just one. There was probably about 22.
It was a gangbang.
Probably about 22 girls there.
22?
22 girls, and I think like 40-some-odd dudes.
Dude, I'd be sweating halfway through that, just the act of sitting up and getting back down like 22 times.
My question,
I know, it's like a Catholic church.
Hey, well, my question for you, though, is what the fuck were you doing?
I was there to get drunk.
Okay.
Yeah. See, there you go. That's what I mean.
So
that makes
wait,
sense.
Wait, so did any connection at all with any...
Well, that's the one girl I talk about on stage. Like, it was just me pissing off girls. And it's Orange County, so I don't...
Did you have a piss break, at least?
Not for the...
Oh, not duration of the turn. Two up and downs. I'm like, oh, yo, I had a lot to drink. I'll be right back to you. Yeah.
Well, you
could... Jameson's getting to me.
Well, the cool thing is, if you sit down and the girl says pass or the guy says pass, you get out of the seat and the next person moves in.
Oh, wow.
So, so there was like passing. I passed in a couple, trust me. I'm like, oh, what's up? You look like my mother. Pass.
Oh, God. Well, see, and that's what's funny is you would be so much less willing to pass in that situation because you have to do it to their face. Like, it's so much more cruel.
I got passed in a couple times because the more drunk I got, the more I got passed on. Like,
somebody needs to make a YouTube video where they just film every single person they sit down across from, they pass. And just film the reactions of all these women, like, immediately upon sitting down. Like, sit down, hi, pass. Just move on to the next
one. Guess what we're doing next week, and we're going to go find one.
We're going to do this.
How's it supposed to work? Like,
basically, you get 3 minutes, and you just ask a couple. It's like trying to get the first date of the way. You just ask a bunch of questions. So the girls, a little, they're asking, like, the same fucking questions. Oh, what do you do? what kind of car do you have? You know, then I tag in the, why does it look like you've been a Megan's Law bullshit? That's
Yeah.
But it's like the same fucking question. It's like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, okay.
I like how your first two questions also equate to just one question.
Exactly.
You make money, right?
Exactly. That's all it is. That's all it is. That's all it is. That's
where do you live?
Are you broke? Are you broke? That's all I want to know.
Like I said, but I did the bit on stage, but I was literally asking girls, like, whoa, what do you like? Star Wars or Star Trek? Trick question. Trick question. You got a vagina. I'm still interested. You know, so
Star Wars or Star Trek.
Just trying to have fun with it. That yeah. shit.
Oh, my
but
God.
But the one girl was really cool, and we started talking, and that's
truth.
Yeah, yeah. I asked her if she had any hobbies. She told me she did. She collected puppets because puppets excite her. And I was like, holy shit, red flags.
I thought that was a joke. That really happened?
That really happened.
Oh,
that's,
my God.
That's the shitty part.
That's fucking
like,
so
I wish I could write a joke that good.
See, that's an OKCupid chick right there. That's what that is. That's what I'm talking about. Those are the kind of psychopaths you find on there.
She wasn't into fisting is where the joke goes.
Oh, right. Yeah. Obviously. Not yet, but yeah.
Yeah, but like, yo, puppets excite me. And I'm like, oh, that's a fucking red flag.
Puppets excite me. Oh, my God. And see, that's a thing only a woman can say. Guy says that is serial killer. You are on a watch list immediately.
Exactly.
Like lightning quick.
You go home, Homeland Security right has you pegged away from all the schools.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, she must have been pretty hot. Wait. She liked puppets.
Because I'm like, standards? No.
Yeah, no, she had no standards.
No.
Okay. No, I meant him. I meant his standards.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah.
That was some wow.
We got one. Anyways, I like your idea, man. We gotta go film just a bunch of
A bunch of fucking no's, just a bunch of passes, just to watch the look on their faces, the dejected, like total. And then not even tell them at the end, like this was a joke. Like don't even tell them that. Let them carry that horribleness within them and that low self esteem. That'd be so good.
So now, Tim, what brought you into the comedy game?
I guess I always liked comedy. I always liked stand-up, like, just as a fan. Like, I enjoyed listening to it. And it just got to a point where I realized, like, wait a minute, this is something that really doesn't cost any money other than, you know, gas money getting around. And, you know, there's no real rule or, like, I don't have a system. I can just up and decide to do this and do it. And if I like it, I can keep doing it. If I don't, I can stop. And, you know, there's no harm, no foul. You know, it's...
So it wasn't a challenge,
yeah,
it's a
win-win situation. Like, there's no way this could be that bad. And I went up the first time. Actually, I went to Bloom's with the intention of going up the first time, pussed out, and just sat there and watched everybody the whole time. Because the list was like... At Bloom's, they're kind of dicks about it, where the list is 15 long. But it always goes up to, like, almost 30, so people got to write in their own names. So I got there for the first time and saw all these written-in names, and I'm like, fuck, dude, you got to, like, know someone? Like, I didn't know the rules or how it worked. And the guy running the mic at the time is this dude named Dave Nunez. Yeah.
Yeah, we had Dave on our show.
Yeah, so you know the Jolly Bean Giant. Fucking He's fucking enormous. Little intimidating. So, like, that first time, I was already fucking pissed scared about going up. So, I ended up not going up. I just sat there and watched the show for the first time. And after about five or six comics, I'm like, this is not going to be hard. there were a handful of guys that I liked, but for the most part, you know, it's an open mic, so most of it's shit. It's just the way it is. And then I went back the next week with much more confidence. I went up there. I'm sure awful. I got a handful of laughs though, and it felt fucking amazing. And like afterwards, I was just buzzing like electric. And I didn't go to bed till like 3 in the fucking morning because I was just so buzzed off of it. And you know, it was like heroin junkie. Like after that, all I've been looking for is another fix. And so that's been it for the last 2.5 years, just constantly like finding those moments of like amazing feelings on stage, basically.
Which is good. I mean,
that's
what we're all chasing is that fucking very first time we get
that
rush.
That buzz, man. Yeah. Oh, it's the best. Such a good feeling.
The other thing is, you're always what? You're Orange County?
Orange County, and I'll do some stuff in like IE San Diego and LA.
Oh, that's cool. So are you basically, do you have a room that you work at? Or
generally, my two are Anchor Bar out in Costa Mesa and and Blooms on Fridays. Also, occasionally head over to Wing Fix and Whittier on Fridays. Yeah. That has turned into a great fucking
last
room.
Night it
Holy
was
shit.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Like I said, the last like three times I've been, it has been staggeringly good. It's almost mind-blowing for an open mic how good that room is.
They've done a really good job. I mean, I only
all the
been
comics
the first
had
time.
To sit
yeah.
outside and they were asked to leave the tables because there was that many people, real people there to watch.
Holy shit. I mean, it's not like it's a big joint, but still,
yeah,
that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was
that's so cool. Especially for a mic. Who the fuck you get civilians in a mic? Yeah. Like, that's so rare. And I remember actually sometimes that'll kind of piss me off. Like some nights at Blooms when they're doing like the art walk, because it's, you know, near Fullerton College. So you get a lot of college students around there and they'll do like art walks. So there's a lot of kids around at that time. And some nights, you know, there's just a fuckload of people there who aren't comics. But I'll go there kind of pissed off because I'm like, man, I got this new material to work on, but I got an actual crowd here, so I should probably just like,
do my own
shit that like I know works and like actually give them a good show and not be an asshole about it. You know, I can wait till Monday to work on the new stuff, so I'll do that. But I'll kind of get irritated by it, like, man, you fucked with my game plan, people.
I'm going in here with a chip on my shoulder, motherfucker. Yeah.
I'm going to make you laugh, but I'm not going to be happy about it. Yeah.
Well, in that case, you want to do like half-half, half-new, half-old?
It depends. Like, if there's one joke that I really want to work on, I'll do it. But if it's just, like, stuff I'm not terribly confident in, yeah. I probably won't do it. I'll just hang on to it and probably, you know, second guess it 3 million times before I actually go up on stage and perform it. That's my favorite part is that you never actually know what's really funny. Mm-hmm. Like, because you write an insane amount of jokes. Like, you have so much material, 90% of it just gets thrown away. Like, so much of it you don't use at all. It's just completely gone because you think, hey, this is really funny. You get up there, tell it, blank nothing, and go, right, that wasn't funny.
Deleted.
And it's illegal.
So is that, do you write a lot at home and then take it to the stage, or do you write on stage? What's your process?
A little bit of both. Lately, I've been doing a lot more because I used to never physically write. I would just, like, talk out my bits to myself, usually, like, in my car. You know, talking out your bits in public tends to freak people out.
Yeah, it does.
So, so I would do it, like, in my car or, like, late at night in my pad. I would
but
do it.
But you know what?
Things like that.
Be honest with you, that's why I want to thank Bluetooth. Is because now the people who talk to themselves with their Bluetooth, it helps when you're in your car and you're speaking your jokes out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
Fuck, people don't look at you like you're crazy anymore. They just look at you like, oh, okay, he's still on the phone.
He's an important person.
Yeah, he's on the phone because I'm working.
I'm in the middle of something.
Yeah, I'm feeling good here. Yeah, but you're right, man. So I don't know.
I used to talk out my bits. Nowadays, I've been writing a lot more, like physically writing, and that's a whole new skill, like trying to translate one to the other. And I did like a lot of just, hey, I have this funny idea, and then I just go up on stage and see what, you know, what I could find with it, and that helped with, you know, my on the spot work and making me more comfortable.
Do you record yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, all the time. Like, basically every set I do, I record.
Video
audio
or just,
video?
Mostly audio, but occasionally, like, if it's a big show, I'll do some video. But yeah, I generally just do audio, and it's just for my own benefit, just to listen back to it and go, hey, this worked and this didn't. Or some nights I'll go up there a little lit and a little more than normal and say, hey, that was great. And I'll listen back to it and go, this is dog shit. Yeah.
But for any of you, for Ray, even Matt, yourself, or Tim, when you guys watch your own video, do you guys actually think about the facial expression you put? Do you guys actually practice that?
Okay. When I watch myself on stage, that's all I'm looking at.
Is your facial expression?
I put it on mute for a while to watch my actual...
Wait, where are you going? What's your...
No, because like you say...
He's trying to say you're fucking ugly.
Don't look at yourself. Hi! Turn away!
That's why I'm on a podcast. I got a face for radio.
There we go.
No, because like when you... You don't practice your facial expressions on your jokes, do you?
I do. Well, not specifically.
Not in the mirror.
Yeah.
You don't do it in the mirror?
I'm not a fucking narcissist.
I only record myself.
What? No, because some people, from what I was told, they go in the mirror and like, I'm going to do this joke and make my eyes go this way.
Well, I tend to focus.
I don't do it.
I tend to focus more on like the cadence of my voice, like how I deliver a line.
Shouldn't it be? It's depend on the joke, man. Like, if it's joke.
Yeah, but some people, there are more rehearsal. There's a lot of people out there that practice their shit
No, I'm not hating on that. I'm just saying, but what does that have to do with your, if your face, like, your facial expression's got to match the joke. You can't just gonna make random weird facial expressions.
Well, no, but when you rehearse the joke, you rehearse, like,
the whole, I never even think about that with that.
You should.
You're all in. Yeah. Maybe, motherfucker, you need to think a little harder.
I avoid eye contact, so
But I've been working on that a lot more lately, like, changing the way I deliver a punchline and, like my mannerism and the cadence of my voice, because it can switch up so much. Having like the, just the way you say something can completely alter, especially when you look like when things get a little dicey material wise if you're working with some like blue or a little offensive material, the audience doesn't give you much leeway, because there's a very fine line when you look like this between joke and he means it.
That's where I learned, like, smile through it all.
Louis is the fucking king of that, where he gives like little laughs in the middle of his awful things that he says. Yeah. To like it puts the audience at ease and lets them know, oh, he doesn't mean it.
It's still a joke.
But, and of course, that is completely rehearsed. That is that is calculated for effect. He's not a fucking idiot. He knows exactly what he's doing. It's a great tactic. It's damn handy. I often bitch about that with other guys, like Tran is perfect at it, because Tran is just a small, adorable little Asian man, so he can say some outlandish shit up there, and everyone's like, he's just an adorable little Asian guy.
He's a little leprechaun.
He doesn't really mean it. I always get pissed at him for that. I'm like, motherfucker, I couldn't do half of your material. I'd get my ass kicked for saying the things you say.
I don't know. I think that might be, like, have you ever gotten, like, physically assaulted for one of your jokes or anything like that?
No, I've never been physically assaulted. I've seen several physical assaults on stage, but I've never been
on stage.
Well, you saw someone get assaulted because of a joke.
I've seen two separate people, get assaulted on stage.
Story time. Who got assaulted?
First one was Roger Yang.
Heard about this.
At Max Bloom's. He got shoved off of the stage, mainly because he's Roger Yang.
Johnny Flowers.
He tends to just turn people off.
He was shoved off by an audience member?
Yeah, an audience member who was not a comedian came in. And, you know, you're in downtown Fullerton, so occasionally you get the random shit-faced blind drunk person staggering in. And that's what happened. Shit-faced blind drunk guy walks in with his girl, and Roger Yang's telling some horrible shit, and guy didn't like it. And so he kind of heckled Roger, and Roger went after him, and Roger doesn't know restraint. So he went after him really bad, and the dude took it personally, got up, shoved him off stage, and everybody stood up and
man shoved him off stage.
Well, not blind drunk.
Oh, okay.
Physically blind. Yeah. Dude, are you kidding me? Yeah. I would have let him kick his ass. That's some miracle worker shit.
I'm
that would have been amazing.
Bitch. Where you at? Yeah, get off stage.
I'd be standing back going, Roger, if you don't win this fight, like, you deserve to get your ass kicked. You need to win this.
Yeah.
And then the other one I wasn't physically present for, I just heard about it, was Thomas Kellogg got hit with a chair in the head, cut his fucking head open.
Yeah,
guy got so mad he threw a chair at him.
Yeah,
like, was like WWE.
A big metal chair on stage. It was at this place called Suds down in Huntington Beach.
Yeah, I know.
Who ran that room? What was his name? Big guy, Douglas Kennedy.
Oh.
Yeah,
DDK ran that room?
DDK ran that room for, I don't know, a couple months maybe, and I guess on one of those shows, like the week before I was supposed to go up, I just remember going there like, hey, this seems like a good bar show, and they're like, yeah, last week Thomas Kellogg got a fucking chair thrown at his face. Which is surprising, because Thomas is a pretty likable guy.
He's very likable.
I don't understand how that happened. But no, I've never really had that problem, at least physically. Like I said, I look the way I do, so most people aren't like immediate to like, hey, I'm gonna go fuck that guy up. They're happy to talk shit.
You get a lot of hecklers?
Nah, not that often. Bar gigs generally are, you know, that's where you can get a lot of hecklers.
Mainly women or men?
Men.
Wow.
Yeah, mainly men. Because, you know, I don't do a lot of, like, gender material. I don't do a lot of women material, so I don't say it. Women just tend to be very disinterested by what I have to say. It's just sort of an ignoring thing. My demographic, from what I understand from people I've met after shows, seems to be, like, late 20s to late 30s guys. Like, that is my wheelhouse of an audience, it seems. And usually drunk. That's also okay. A big precursor.
So basically, he's not in the money marketing. So you got to get the late 20s to late 30 females.
Right.
That's the one that's spending the money.
But that is the money market. Who do you think is buying those late 20, late 30 females drinks? Are his guys.
But their women hate me because they're laughing at me instead of
and they will not go to sleep with them now.
Exactly.
So if the women are hating them, they're not going to, you and I take them to his show.
I need to start doing bits where like I'm promoting
female
like,
love.
Something female. I don't know.
Yeah. You need some female love.
That's
yeah.
Most of my hecklers are drunken females.
I don't think I've ever had a female heckler. Not
he's,
once.
He's loved by the ladies.
Oh, not, no, like I said, they don't care. I don't exist to the ladies. I am a void.
He's Jesus.
I'm just. I get up on stage and all women hear is white noise.
Say there were shoes next time. That happens.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Our coach purse. She'll love you to death.
No, I also get a lot of drunken Mexican hecklers. Those are a big one for me. But I love them. They're great.
But
they're so
usually
much fun.
That's
what I mean. There's drunken white guy hecklers are heckling because they're dickheads and because they want attention. Mexican dudes think like, hey, I'm going to participate. You know, they don't
party act.
Yeah, they're not mad at you at all. They just want to be a part of it.
I had a guy that was laughing so hard he would just keep repeating my jokes to the point it was annoying the room, so I had to call him Echo, but I didn't know that was in Spanish, so I had to ask what that was, but I said Echo O. So.
Oh, Jesus. There you go.
Yeah.
So your family, did they come support you at all?
Oh, yeah. My dad, he lives out in Vegas, but my mom and some of the immediate family there, my sister, they all come out to my shows, like, fairly regularly. Whenever I, you know, they don't come out to the shitty little bar games or anything like that, but if I got a Brea improv show or something like that, they usually come out.
Would you invite him to, like, a clubhouse show?
Taco Tuesday.
No, because that's where shit gets real. That's when I start telling my cocaine stories and shit like that, where I don't necessarily want them to be
not to bite off your material, but I decided to do cocaine for my first time for real.
And
you're absolutely right.
It's fucking fantastic.
Holy fuck, it's permanent.
Good.
I was just like,
yeah, dude, everything is great. It's so much more fun.
I got peer pressured into it though.
Oh, okay. Well, so actually, my time, I was just sitting there talking, and my buddy came up behind me, huge guy. He's like 6'7", Mexican dude, just walked up behind me and just, like, jammed a spoon, like, right under my nose and just went, breathe in.
Wow.
And I was drunk already, and I'm like, yeah, fuck it, why not?
So you weren't in prison when this happened?
No.
A prison fucking rape story.
You have a great, do you do the bit about it still on stage about the coke?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Do you want to tell the story, or...
The story is just like, the idea was I was up in Riverside with my buddy, did some cocaine, we were drinking a hammer, and he's got like a bike trail that runs like right by his backyard up in the hills in Riverside, and it's like 1 a.m, we're fucked up and blown out on coke, and he goes, hey man, let's go walk on the bike trail.
They call it a bike trail for a reason, motherfucker.
Yeah, because hiking—that's something I do.
I feel like, you know, nothing ever sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah. That's the problem. That's what I mean. Cocaine, everything sounds great. Like it's always you're like, what bad could befall me? Like nothing bad can happen. It'll always be good. And we ended up walking down the bike trail. And we ran into some fucking like young teenagers, like 13, 14, 15-year-old kids.
Were they on the bikes at least?
No. They were there because they were tagging the bike trail. They were fucking spray painting. Why not? It's just what happened. And the funny thing was, I thought like we were going to scare the shit out of them. Because again, it's my buddy who's 6'7", Mexican guy, long black hair, bigger beard than me. And me, drunk and blown out on coke, 1 a.m, walking out of the darkness at a bunch of children like, hello!
Gandalf! Gandalf the Grey.
And then, but oddly enough, they were just like, yeah, the normal shit.
Yeah.
It's another Saturday night in Riverside, whatever. Like, they didn't seem weirded out by it at all.
Damn, no fear.
No, no fear whatsoever. They didn't give a fuck about
that's
us.
That's the mixed generation. Some of these kids have no fear. The other ones are fearless.
Yeah,
like
this
fuck.
Guy, they, these yeah. kids did not give a fuck. Apparently, apparently they'd been through this before. Yeah. I actually didn't think to ask my friend whether he'd run into these kids before or not.
Do you know them?
Yeah. Yes. Well, I should. It should have been a clue when they were like, oh, cocaine, right. Yeah. It's 1 a.m. It's just the annual cokehead drop-by. It just happens.
Yes, we're near Columbia.
Yeah, but I ended up, while they were tagging, they were just tagging those weird bullshit symbols that you see fucking spray painted everywhere. And I never know what the fuck they mean.
MS-13?
Yeah. No, no.
Yeah. Sober up right quick right there, dude.
Yeah, might want to run.
Yeah. They were spray painting this random bullshit, and I asked him, like, yo, what the fuck does that mean? And the kid, like, just gave me that dismissive, like, psh, like you're, like, who the fuck are you, sort of. And I fucking snapped. I was so pissed. Like, who the fuck are you, you little asshole? Like, fucking 13-year-old kid? Like, I've been out of fucking high school longer than you've been out of diapers, shithead. Like, who the fuck do you think you are talking to me? Like, you, yeah, you got, like, four friends with you. Our two asses? We could fucking kill you, like, right now, and no one would know it. Like, I don't know who the fuck you think you are screwing with me. And then, like, halfway through screaming at these kids, I was like, wow, this is really fucked up that I'm saying these things. this is probably the cocaine. So I'm just going to stop and we're going to walk away.
Yeah. This is the cocaine talking. Yeah. I'm going to walk.
Yeah, I'm just going to take
it. Cocaine's a hell of a
drug. Really good that you had the rationalization to realize in that moment not to keep going.
No, but did you keep going?
No, I did not.
Oh, you just walked away.
No, I totally did. Like, I finished with, like, a fuck you, and then I just, like, nudged him, and we just took off. We just left.
You know, that, like, that reminds me of the movie The Hangover, when Guff's in the middle, he's arguing about this point, and he's like, fuck it, I'm done. And just walk away. I'm done.
I'm done. Done.
I'm just fucking done with this. I'm so fucking done with this.
Yeah, but that's why I've avoided cocaine a lot ever since, because it's so good. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course, I could totally see blowing my whole life on this. Like, I could totally see ruining things on this drug.
I don't know
this
if
it's
part
the
of
best.
Your bit, but the funniest thing you said, he goes, fat comedians and cocaine do not have a good history.
Yeah, that was that's one of the ending tags to the joke is that, fat comics and cocaine historically don't have a good track record.
Yeah, at all. At all.
If I ever get a call from Lorne Michaels from SNL, I'm going to tell him to eat a dick.
Like,
there's no way. You do not do well with my people, sir.
Yeah, sir. I'm done. Yeah. I don't want to die this year. Call me if I'm 15.
Like, I'm going to have a good 3 years, make a big crappy movie, and then they're going to find me somewhere.
Hanging. Hanging. No, my big ass can't hang. I can't just hang. I hang with my people.
It's not good.
So your mom hasn't heard that bit yet?
No, she hasn't. My sister has. She was not the least bit surprised by it.
Older sister or younger?
Younger.
Oh, yeah. She's a big brother.
Yeah. She fucking knows. She's not an idiot. Fuck, she just got her bartending license. She's going to be a bartender now.
How old is she?
22.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
How old are you?
30. Just turned 30.
Okay. Oh, yeah, just 8 years.
Right.
Oh.
Big dirty 30. That's
right. That's right. Yeah.
How was your birthday?
Oh, it was fine. Like, I didn't do shit. Like,
you
I don't.
Do anything crazy for your 30th?
Nah. I don't.
It's kind of milestones. Like, one of the few.
Yeah, but it's kind of, like, I don't know.
What milestone is 30?
Thank you.
Dirty fucking 30.
I'm with you, dude.
If a female.
Dude, no. Like,
if
there's
a fucking female, he's dirty 30.
But for a dude, it's like that last time they really just go fucking ape shit.
No, it's not bullshit, dude. Nothing fucking changes.
Yeah, at 30.
Like, after 30, like, you're expected to be more of a fucking.
At 25, you get
true. I figured, like. But that already happened at 29. Like, I got news for you. That whole fucking, like, crazy 20s thing that ends in your late 20s, all right?
It does.
The second you're out doing, like, fucking shots of Four Horsemen at 28, people are like, get the fuck home, old man, you got work in the morning.
You got a job and responsibilities. Exactly. Motherfucker,
you got bills to pay.
Grisha, I need to hear that fucking 7 years ago.
That's the whole big difference.
No, they don't give a fuck at that time, but that's why 30's no big deal. But this is actually serious. Like, I genuinely believe this. I hate getting shit for my birthday or Christmas. I tell people specifically, even my family, don't fucking get me anything, because, like, the idea of presents is, like, a good thing. That, you know, if you see something out there and you're like, hey, I know this person will like it, and you get it for them, that's cool. But just because we pick a day out of the fucking year where if I don't get you something, I'm a motherfucker. Like, how is that a good thing? That's fucked up. That doesn't make it nice anymore. That makes it a job.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm obligated to get you something, and I feel like a dick doing that to someone else.
Like, I get, like, the birthday Christmas thing, but, like, it's the other Hallmark holidays that piss me off. Yeah. Birthday Christmas.
What, Kwanzaa?
I'll take a present.
No, I see, but that fucking Valentine's
Day and fucking, you know,
The girls get fucking pissed. They get pissed. They're like, what do you mean you don't want anything for your birthday? I'm like, fuck you, it's my birthday. And what, you know what I want? I don't want dick. All right? That's what I mean. They like it more. They're like, ooh, I get to get him something.
They love that whole giving aspect. And you know
right.
what? Then let them.
But that's bullshit. No, fuck them. I don't want anything.
Well, all right. Why were you so mad at the females? Tell us one more time how the female will find you. Yeah, so we're so mad at them. Tell us one more time how they'll find you.
DoubleWideDink.com.
Jesus.
That's our executive producer.
Bucky says
in.
Something once every 4 months on the podcast.
Yeah. Get it. But it's
that'll be prolific one
the
day.
The silent Bob.
No, we're going to take a little break for a second. So tell us how to find you real quick, then we can come back for another. You just, okay? Are you ready
yeah,
to go?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good? Okay to
Everybody
keep going,
cool?
yeah.
We all chill?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Well, we're going to take a little break, so tell us.
Just go on Facebook, punch in my name, Tim Groeschel, that's it. And you hit me up, it's fine. Like,
Groeschel will be spelled on the episode for everybody.
I mean, yeah, okay. Exactly. I'm not going to fucking, don't try to spell it phonetically. It's terrible. Terrible German bullshit name.
Hi, hey. All right, we're going to take a little break, man. We'll be right back, though, with Tim Groeschel. And then we're going to, our producer's over there looking at me with one eye like he's fucking smoking cocaine himself. He was smoking cocaine. He wasn't snorting it because the way he's looking, he's smoking it. All right, we'll be right back, man, with them nuts. We're out of here. Later.
Thank you for listening to Them Nuts Podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. Stay tuned for new episodes and other Them Nuts productions. Be sure to like and follow us on all the social media networks and Podomatic.com because we have got more to come.